Last weekend had all the potential, my friends, to be a major disaster. If not a full-blown disaster, then at least a huge aggravation. You know, all the red flags were there. And every time I thought about it for a full week leading up to it, my stomach would drop, you know. I'd feel full anxiety, high anxiety. And, you know, I'm one of these guys. And this is not something that I would recommend that you try to cultivate. But I'm one of these guys that sees the worst case scenario at all times. You know, not only is the glass half empty, but it's like filthy, and there's like somebody else's lip prints on it. You know, that's the way. I had this weekend coming up where I had three different hurdles I needed to get across. And I saw trouble with every one of those hurdles, you know? So every time I thought about it, I'd go, oh, God. You know, it wasn't even something I thought about. It was just almost like a physical reaction. Like when it would pop into my head, like whenever it would pop into my head what the weekend was going to be like, I'd go, oh my God. Ugh, you know? I don't want to get cocky at this point. I don't want to start walking with a swagger prematurely, but I've now gotten past two of those hurdles and I'm unscathed. They were fairly painless. You know, I still have one more. That's the one tonight. I have one more hurdle to get across, but this last one is the one that I was dreading the least. So this one, I feel like I might be out of the woods on this deal. Might be setting myself up for a major heartache. I don't know, because I think I'm done. I think I'm successful. And tonight might come off the rails, you know? I don't know. Everything could go south on me tonight. I don't know. I hope not. But, you know, I don't want to... This might be a little premature, but I feel like I might have been able to pull it off. But I thought I'd tell you about it today, break it down for you, hurdle by hurdle, and that's what we'll do, okay? So hurdle number one started on Friday. My oldest boy, it was his birthday. We bought him tickets to a concert, you know, a couple months ago. And he was going to go with his friend. It's this Les Claypool character from Primus. Are you familiar? He's one of these guys, I don't know, and I've seen Primus a couple times back in the Atlanta days, back when I had access to concert tickets, you know, freebies all the time when I was in the biz, you know, so I went to see everybody, if I wasn't really interested in it, I'd go anyway, you know what I'm saying? So I'd go, if I had like a free Friday or a free Saturday night. And if it wasn't free, it was because I was going to a show. So if I wasn't going to a show, I would fill up the free time by, you know, going to a show. That's the way it worked back in those days. So I went to see everybody. I saw Primus twice, I believe, at this place called The Masquerade in Atlanta. So, you know, I'm familiar with what they're all about. I have some of their CDs. Not really a fan. There's a lot of noodling, a lot of doodling, you know, jamming, songs that are way too long, you know. That's not my kind of thing. I think that's music for musicians, and I'm not a musician, so I'm not equipped to appreciate all the complex, you know, machinations. What do you think? And but, you know, my son is, he's a guitarist, he's like into that stuff. So he would play me stuff, and he's like, do you know how difficult that is to make that transition? I'm like, no, I don't, you know. And I don't say it to him, but I'm like, I don't, you know, whatever. I don't understand, you know, I'm not equipped to understand all that stuff. I prefer 3-4 minute songs, you know, played with passion, played with energy. Just get in, get out. You know, I don't need those 11-minute jams. that stuff bores me. That's not my thing. So, but he likes it. So whatever, you know, good, you know, whatever floats your boat, as they say. We bought him the tickets. Him and his buddy were going to go. And there was this vague plan where they were going to spend the night with their friend that they went to high school with down there. He has an apartment down there. So good, you know, I'm glad he's happy, you know. Go down there and have fun, you know. Not too much fun, needless to say, but you know what I'm saying. He likes that kind of stuff, so, you know, knock yourself out. So that was the plan. But then a few days ago, like a week and a half out, Tony says, you might have to go to that show with him. I was like, what? What show? Well, that Les Claypool show on his birthday. I said, what? Why? Why? What's my involvement in this? She said, well, his friend is kind of hemming and hawing. He doesn't know if he's going to be able to get time off from work. So you might have to step in and go with him. I said, why didn't he ask somebody else? And he said, well, he can't ask somebody else, you know. What are you supposed to say? Like, if my first choice can't go, would you like to be my second choice? I was like, okay. So she goes, so you need to go. You need to be on standby. So I don't want to go to that, you know. I don't want to go down there and all those hacky sack playing hemp hat wearing motherfuckers, you know. And she said, well, it doesn't matter if you want to or not. You are on standby. You are on rock and roll standby. I said, all righty. That's fantastic. So you know, I took the day off and stood by. You know, that was my role. You know, just point me in the direction you want me to go, and I'll go. You know, so I took the day off from work, and I didn't know how it was gonna play out. And in fact, I didn't know until they drove away in their car what was gonna happen. There was no plan. Everything was up in the air. I don't think they ever talked to the guy that they were supposed to spend the night with. As far as I know, that guy had no idea about any of this. We didn't know if the friend was going to be able to go or if he was going to go. We didn't know if I was going to go. I mean, it was all up in the air. And and that kind of stuff makes me insane. How can you not have a plan? You know, and if it was me and Steve and I going down there, we'd have that thing storyboarded out. You know, we'd have a bulletin board up, we'd have index cards stuck up there with yarn running between the index cards. We'd know what time we're leaving, who's driving, how much time's allotted for the rest areas, whether or not we're going to go to a Roy Rogers, maybe get a sandwich. You know, if we get a super-sized sandwich instead of the regular sandwich, we have to add an extra 2 minutes in, you know. We'd have that shit storyboarded and plotted out from step to step. They don't know jack shit, and it's minutes before they're supposed to leave. They don't know if I'm going or if he's going. It's like all up in the air. It's making me insane. I'm like, you know, it's his birthday. I'm trying to sit there with a smile on my face like, yeah. You know, I'd have gone and I'd have made the best of it, but it'd be better if he went with his friend. He'd probably have more fun, right? I mean, than his dad, you know. I'm thinking of him, of course. But anyway, so they went. They finally left. And, you know, I was off the hook for that deal. But Tony told me that later that night, she told me that he said something to her during the week leading up to this concert thing, you know, where it looked like I was going to go. And he said, you know, I feel weird. I don't want Dad to be in that kind of setting. She goes, what do you mean? Well, it gets really rambunctious and there's a lot of, you know, like a hippie, bunch of hippies there. She goes, are you serious? You know, she's not really the one to jump immediately to my defense. You know, I mean, I guess she would if the chips were down, but she doesn't leap to my, jump to my defense, you know, a hair trigger. That's for certain. But she said, she goes, do you have any idea? Do you understand, you know, how many shows that your father has gone to? When I met him, that's all he did. He was, you know, he's been to hundreds, thousands, you know. So, I don't think you have to worry about your dad navigating a rock show, you know. I mean, it's not something you really need to worry about. He was like, yeah, but, you know, there's a bunch of young people. So it's basically he thinks I'm too old. He thinks I'm an old man, you know. God, that bugs me. Are you serious? So that's stuck in my craw, as they say. You know, God, what is his view of me? You know, anyway. So he's going to find out, however. We bought tickets over the weekend. We bought tickets on Sunday, I think, for the Rockin' Tours in Pittsburgh. And all three of us are going to go. Me and both boys, we're going to go over there. And I think it's in August, maybe September, I'm not sure. You know, Jack White, Rockin' Tours. You know, that's another guy. You know, he's fantastic. I like the White Stripes. But his solo stuff is a little, you know, he needs to be constrained by a pop song. You know, the Rockin' Tours is more of a power pop outfit. You know, he's working with other people. And they constrain him with the 3-4 minute pop song, which is perfect, in my opinion. When he's just running wide open, he puts out these solo records. They're just off the wall, you know. And the musicians are like, oh, my God, did you hear that? Do you understand? You know, blah, blah. The complex, you know, transition, all this stuff. That means nothing to me. I like the Rockin' Tour stuff where he's constrained, you know. So we're going to go over to Pittsburgh and see that show at the end of the summer. And that'll be fun. Then you can see how I navigate a rock show. I'm going to be crowd surfing. I'm going to be taking it too far, just showing him. You know, maybe like a fat-ass old man crowd surfing through there. You know, well, we'll see how it goes. So that was hurdle number one. I got past that. They ended up going, but it was touch and go up to the very last second. Hurdle number two was Sunday morning. We have a quarterly inventory at my job, and I'm in charge of it, so I have to go. I reluctantly have to go. And it's not so much the inventory. We got that shit down, man. That's a well-oiled machine. You know, it's not the actual doing of the job. It is the time of day when it occurs. It starts at 5 a.m., and to me, that's the middle of the night. I mean, I don't see 5 a.m. ever. The only time I ever see 5 a.m., is when we have these inventories. So that was coming up. I was dreading that shit, you know, because I get up in the middle of the night and go to this thing, and it destroys me. I can't sleep the night before. You know, I try to go to bed at like 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I go up there, and I get in bed, and I thrash and flail, you know. I'm just like rolling around. I'm all up in my head thinking, oh my God, I only have 4 more hours. I'm not going to be able to function. And then I only have 3 more hours. I got to get up, you know. I'm just, you know, it's just a state of sustained misery and panic, you know. And then I get out of bed. I sleep for 1 hour or something. And I get out of bed and I'm having some kind of out-of-body experience, you know, where my body, you know, I'm going through the motion. I'm doing all the stuff I need to do to get done. And I drive down there and I do everything. And I don't even remember it hardly, you know. It's a weird thing where it's one of those deals like you feel like you're floating above yourself, just watching yourself, you know what I mean? So those things suck. I hate them. You know, it's not, like I say, it's not the job itself. It's the time of day. It destroys me. I'm not able to bounce back like I used to be able to. You know, I used to go out back in the day and, you know, stay out all hours of the night, drinking heavily, getting in all sorts of shenanigans, and then go to work the next day and function fairly well, you know. I used to be able to bounce back. I can't bounce back. And there's not even any alcohol involved. It's just changing my schedule. It screws me up. It destroys me. And then, so it affects Saturday. I'm dreading it all day Saturday. I'm thinking, oh, I gotta go to bed early. I gotta try to get some sleep. So I'm worried about it all day Saturday. And then I thrash and flail all night long. And then I go to the inventory. It's fine. No issue with that. And then I go home and I'm a full-blown zombie sitting in a chair like I've been recently lobotomized, drool dribbling out of the corner of my mouth, you know. And I'm in misery. And then even in the Monday, I'm still feeling it, you know. So it sucks. I hate it. It's like the worst thing ever. However, you know, when I say the worst thing ever, you know what I mean. I could probably think of worse things. Various cancers and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? It sucks. And I dread it. So, but this time I went upstairs, 10 o'clock, read a chapter of the book I'm reading, fell asleep, slept on through to 4:30, got quality sleep. It was unbelievable. It worked exactly the way it's supposed to work, and never does. So I drove down there, did the inventory. It went off without a hitch. Beautiful. Came home, felt normal. I wasn't that, you know, that lobotomy, you know. There was no lobotomy this time. I told Tony, I said, I feel normal. I feel like this is just a normal day. We went out, had lunch. It was fantastic. I couldn't believe it. If I could get to the point where I'm able to do that, then I won't have to worry about it anymore. I don't know. But anyway, so we went out and had lunch, went to a couple stores, came back, watched the Cincinnati Reds versus the St. Louis Cardinals in Mexico. They're doing all these novelty games where I think there's going to be a game in London later in the season. Not the Reds, but another couple other teams. You know, they're sort of playing in Mexico. And, you know, it's a beautiful stadium. They're playing on artificial turf, which they don't have that anymore in the majors. You know, they used to be common, but, you know, it's old-fashioned now. But they still have that shit in Mexico. I was thinking, I was worried that somebody'd blow a knee out or something, because that's a whole different ball game, so to speak. But, you know, watched the game. Reds lost. But it was a good game. It was fun to watch. And there was this thing on there at the beginning. They had this giant baseball, this huge baseball, you know, white and at the beginning. And then they had these magic markers. Like, so all the people that attended the game, they were urging them to sign this baseball. You know what I'm saying? The baseball was like 5 foot tall or something. And so they showed it at the end. And it was covered in all these, you know, people signed it and people had all these positive things to say. It was all cool looking, you know. And I was telling Tony, so if you had that thing down in Atlanta, so say for Atlanta, for instance, I have a little experience with Atlanta. So you put that thing outside of a stadium in Atlanta and you have all the people that are attending the game, you know, sign it. That thing, they could show it after the ninth inning and the thing would just be covered in dicks. You know what I mean? People would just be drawing big dicks on it. There'd be profanity, you know. It'd be covered in dicks and profanity. So that's, I think for almost for a fact, that's what would happen. And since we're talking about Atlanta and white trash, I don't think we mentioned white trash, but, you know, it's my segue. I thought I'd take the opportunity to play another gem from the vast Surf Report sound library. This one was, when we lived in Atlanta, we listened to this radio station called 99X, and it was an alternative rock station. They had this morning show on there called, are you ready for this? The Morning X. They had to think long and hard for that shit, to name that thing. Anyway, it's called The Morning X, and it was really funny, and we used to listen to it while we were driving to work every morning. And they used to play this song, and I, you know, I use the term loosely, but it was supposedly recorded off public access TV. I don't know the artist. I don't know the history behind it. All I know is I loved it. I thought it was hilarious. There are some great lines in this thing. And somehow, I think years later, on Napster, of all places, I found this recording of it. And I've had it ever since. So it's been featured at the Surf Report website for years. It's called White Trash Rap. And this is from Atlanta radio station 99X.
We have just the song for you.
Y'all, I'm white trash. I wave a rebel flag. My horn plays Dixie and my wheels are Max. I got food stamps and I'm on welfare too. I use it to buy Chia Pets and super glue. They call me white and trashy. That makes me white and trashy. To get drunk and give a rebel yell. I'd make a good beautician if I'd learn how to spell. I said I'm trashy. Hey, that's what I said. I lay around all day in my miracle bed. I like it white and trashy because I'm white and trashy. Living in a trailer park, shooting guns after dark, yelling loud. Having me a champagne jam. Hair feathered, gonna fly. Jeans tight, heels high. JD in my hand. Crank the Charlie Daniels band. I ain't working now, but I will be soon. My workman's compensation will be over in June. Because I'm white trash, I drive a big old car. But since my DUI, don't go very far, because I'm white and trashy. My car is white and trashy. I like lazy boys, and my trailer is full. I met my boyfriend Bubba at the tractor pull. I got some tattoos and some broken bones. I always get in trouble when Bubba comes home. He's acting white and trashy. That Bubba's white and trashy. Real white, real trash. Lose my temper in a flash. Driving in a trashy car. Fighting in a trashy bar. Living in a trailer park. Shooting guns after dark. Yelling loud as I can. Having me a champagne jam.
With Barnes, Leslie, and Jimmy.
This isn't art, it's just mindless pablum for losers who can barely read.
99X.
Yeah, what do you think about that shit? Is that a classic or what? So, White Trash Rap from 99X. Hope you enjoyed that. And now we're at hurdle number 3. That has not been crossed yet. That is tonight. I have to work overnight. Usually it's for an audit. I have to be at an audit. So, should be all right. Shouldn't be a problem, but, you know, we'll see. Well, this is the one I didn't like, the one I dreaded the least, you know? So, it is another situation where I have to change my schedule radically, you know, but it's not as bad as getting up at 4:30 in the morning. I probably have to work until 4:30 in the morning. So I'm better at doing the late night than the early morning. And I don't have any problem with the audit itself. That's not an issue. It's the changing my schedule. Yesterday I had to be there in the middle of the night, starting in the middle of the night. This time I end in the middle of the night. See, I guess I don't work my regular schedule anymore. So this is the last hurdle to get across. We'll see how it goes. Should be all right. I don't know what time I'm going to go in. Yeah, just saunter in there at some point. But anyway, that's the last hurdle. And then I've got this Kansas City trip hanging over my head. I think I mentioned that maybe at the website. I got to go business travel. Kansas City, Missouri. Or as us insiders call it, Kansas City, Mo. I don't know if anybody calls it that. But anyway, I'll be going out there early May. Originally, it was supposed to be 11, 12 days. I was like, holy shit. You know, what am I going to do in Kansas City? Just eat barbecue for 12 days straight? That's a possibility. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it. But now it's been truncated a little bit, shortened to maybe like 5 days. So that sounds a little bit more reasonable. But, you know, that's another thing. You know, the glass is half empty and there's like lip prints on it. You know, I don't know what's going to happen with this thing. Could lead to major trouble for me. I don't know how. But, you know, that's the way my brain works. You know, it'll be fine. I'm just going to go out there and help them with a project. It'll be fine. It won't be an issue. But, you know, any kind of disruption to my regular... I'm like a border collie, you know. Any kind of disruption to my regular schedule throws me in the disarray. So, anyway. So, that's not one of the hurdles, though. That's an auxiliary hurdle. That one's farther down the road. We'll cross that shit when we get there, you know. If I can get past this third hurdle tonight, I'll be home free for a while. So pray for me. Whew, getting emotional. Hang on a second. Oh, I'm back. All right. So anyway, I think we're at the end of this thing. My throat's starting to dry out. You know, I don't know what's going on with me. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed this. If you want to hear an extra episode of the Surf Report podcast, which is what you're listening to, I don't know if I announced that, but anyway, if you want to get a second episode every week, every Thursday, possibly Friday, depends on how it goes, but it's every week, been very consistent with these things, so you can bank on it, you know. You can do it. You can double down on the West Virginia Surf Report podcast by heading over to patreon.com, that's patreon.com/JeffK, signing up for a $4 or more monthly patronage. That's a monthly donation. Just stick it on a credit card, $4, you know, comes out at the beginning of every month, and you'll instantly gain access to all the old Jeff K shows, as well as the West Virginia Surf Report podcast. All of them are in the archive. You can listen to them instantly. And all the future Surf Report podcasts that are released on Thursdays, you know, you'll have instant access to those as well. So it's my way of saying thank you for the monthly support. And if you're interested in doing that, just head on over there right now as soon as the music starts playing or stops playing. Yeah, right after the music stops playing, head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. Do it up. I sound like Mark Maron. All right. My voice is going out. What the hell's going on? I don't know what the hell's happening to me. I shouldn't be bragging that I've gotten past the hurdle. Now I'm having some kind of voice crisis. All right. We're at the end of this thing. Hope you enjoyed it. I will see you again on Thursday over at Patreon. You guys have yourselves a fine, fine week. I'll see ya. Bye. You'll be covered in dicks and profanity.